In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So this is a gospel that you may have noticed is read quite a bit throughout the year. And the reason for that is that Christ is teaching us on how he has come to displace the kingdom of Satan. But there's one word in this gospel that I want us to stick on today. It's not the theme of the gospel, but it's one word that needs to stick with us very, very deeply. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So today, in a very few words, I want to just pick up this one word, divided. Every city that is divided. St. Paul, writing in Corinthians, writes to the Corinthian community and says to them, "What is this I've heard about you? What is this I've heard about you? What are all these rumors and words that I hear and messages that I'm receiving telling me about what's going on in your community? You're all fighting. What is this I'm hearing that some of you are going and saying, 'I am of Peter. I was baptized by St. Peter.' And other people go, 'No, no, no, I was baptized by St. Paul.' And someone says, 'No, I am of Christ.' You guys, what is it? Factions? You have factions in your church? You're dividing amongst yourselves into groups?" And then he says to them, "Who was crucified for you? Was Paul crucified for you? Was Peter crucified for you? Or was Christ crucified for you? Who were you baptized into? Forget about who baptized you. Who were you baptized into? Were you baptized into Paul? Were you baptized into Peter? Or were you baptized into the one Christ? Or were you baptized into the one Christ?" This is the state of what happens that we are always trending towards in our families, in our church. The devil plays with us. Division. Division. St. Paul then goes on in the Corinthian letter and says to them, and you're fighting about absolutely anything. You're fighting about who has spiritual gifts, who can prophesy, who can speak in tongues, who can do miracles. You're fighting about brother is suing brother. You're fighting about food, whether you should eat meat or not meat. You're fighting about absolutely everything and anything. What's going on in this church? You've missed the calling. You've missed the purpose of what the church is about. And so this concept of division is something that we need to be incredibly aware of, incredibly discerning of, and ensuring that in our own hearts, in our own selves, in our own families, in our church, we don't divide. It is the things of God that most divide us. We often think that we walk into church and that's it, there'll be no such thing as a division. But where would the devil play with you the most? If you're sitting outside in the world and you have no issue, you're never going to church, you don't care about anything, you don't care about your spiritual life, you're not repenting, would the devil really have a concern with you? He'd leave you to your own devices. He has no concern for you. But once you enter the church, he picks up on that one thing that the church is called to be one, and he plays with it. And he plays with it. And that's why it is the things that are of God that most divide us, the thing that the devil most picks up and plays with. But that is not how we're created. We are not created to sit in a Sunday school class with two servants, argue with each other. One thinking, "No, but I do it this way." "No, no, you're not doing it the right way. I know how to do it. You don't know how to do it." We're not created so that in the kitchen, we're sitting there and we're fighting about who should cook, how they should cook. We're not created so that in our houses, husband is against wife and wife against husband. And everything is a ploy of revenge. Everything is a ploy of arguing, of a competition. "I woke up this morning. You woke up yesterday morning. Oh, it's your turn to get up." That obviously didn't happen this morning. Okay? God didn't create us for this. He didn't create us for division. He didn't create us to be divided in ourselves. So that I'm almost living a split personality life. One second I'm with God, one second I'm against him. He didn't create us so that I'm constantly at war in myself, where the things that I want to do are the things that I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do are the things that I end up doing. As St. Paul said, I find that there are two laws. There are two enemies. There are two things at play in my heart. My flesh is battling against my will. God didn't create us for that. God created us to be created in the image of him. If you read the Genesis account, it's very, very specific in the way that the Genesis writer puts it, Moses puts it. He says, for everything else, let there be earth and let the earth bring forth. Let there be waters, let there bring forth. Let the waters be separated from the earth. But when he comes to humanity, he said, let us, who is the us? The Trinity. The Trinity. He's saying, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image. Our image. So we are created in the image of who? Of God. The Trinity. Does anyone know what the word Trinity means? Sure. But what does the word itself mean? Anyone? Maybe for the adults, a little bit harder. Yeah, almost. It means tri-unity. Three persons in unity. Three different individual persons of God in absolute unity. And God creates us in that image. He creates us to be hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of individual persons in unity. And yet, is that how we are created? Is that how we live? St. Isaac the Syrian used to speak of something called the solitary. You know, if you read St. Isaac the Syrian, especially his ascetical homilies, the one thing he likes to talk about is the solitary, the one that is away from other human beings. Okay? And he's talking, obviously, not to us specifically, but to those monks who decide to become recluses and to live by themselves in the middle of the desert. The solitary. And the word he uses for that person is Ehidia in Syriac, which means the unified one, the one that is united. So what he's saying is the perfect human being is the one that is united. United in three ways. United with God, united with his fellow man, and united with himself. United with God, united with his fellow man, united with himself. That's what we are called to be. Yet how many of us, if you stop right now and think about it, are united with God? How many of us are united with our fellow men? How many of us are united within ourselves? How many of us are united within ourselves? I was reading a description of Pope Carolus, and it's probably the best description I've ever seen of him. They called him, probably cheating, because his name in Arabic is what? Abu Namina el... What was that? Yeah, which means? The solitary, which also means the unified one. And so he said, this English writer said, that is the best description of him, the unified one. The one who is so completely unified. When he acts, in every moment of his life, he's united with God. His heart is constantly lifted to God. At every moment of his life, he's united with his fellow man. They used to say about him when he was living at St. Mina's Church in Old Cairo, that he would have his light on and then he'd go to sleep. But if anyone knocked on his door, he would be fully dressed as if he was awake. Come, come, what can I do for you? I'll give you anything you want. 2, 3 a.m. doesn't make a difference what time. And then at the same time, he was perfectly united in himself. There was no anger in him. There was no outburst in him. There was no losing his temper. There was no losing control. There was no losing self-control. Because his entire life was focused on becoming the unified one. So today, this one gospel, the only thing I want you to stick from this gospel is we are called to become one. One in ourselves, one in our families, one in our church. There is no greater symptom that we are far away from God, both in ourselves, in our families, in our church, than if there is division. There is no greater sign that we are lost. There is no greater sign. As I said to you guys before, once I remember when myself and Abuna Paul were a bit younger, much younger, obviously, and we were fighting. We used to have rules, okay? We used to have very strict rules. So you could never hit somebody above the neckline, okay? You could hit them, but it had to be on the trunk. You could hit the arms, and you could never hit below the belt. So you were limited to between the umbilicus and the neck. That's the only places you're allowed to hit each other. And we used to be quite vicious in the way that we used to hit each other. And one day we were fighting. And we were fighting really, really hard. And it got a bit out of control. And we were really, really smashing each other. Obviously, we were very young children at this stage. And then at one point, as we were fighting, Mum was telling us, stop, 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 stop. And then we saw Mum walk off. As she walked off, we looked at each other. We said, what's wrong with Mum? I don't know. She's seen us fight 100 times. So then we walked into the room, into her prayer room, and we found her crying. And straight away, both of us felt like we were the smallest most disgusting pieces of rubbish on the earth. That gave me an insight into God. We all have weaknesses. We all have lusts. We all have anger. We all have frustration. We all have lack of trust. We all have sins. But these aren't the sins that bothers God the most. Because what's the sin that most bothers a parent? Division. My children fighting. My children hating each other. My children not loving each other. My children not being kind to each other. And what is the thing that gives a parent the greatest joy? To see my children playing nicely together, smiling, hugging, kissing each other, sharing with each other. How happy does it make when you see your children sharing with each other? That is an insight into God. Okay, I lust. Okay, I'm greedy. Okay, this. Okay, that. But these sins, if you like, in a sense, are more the sins that God has mercy on them, because they're sins of weakness. But to divide hurts God. When Cain killed Abel, does anyone remember what God said to Cain?
Where is
your brother? Yeah, and then after that? He said to him, your brother's blood does something. Perfect, perfect. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Your division, your hate, you hurting your brother, it burns me. It cries out to me from the ground. If we can talk about God and say this, it makes him cry. It makes him weep. But by the same token, when we're united, when we show love to each other, when we care for each other, both in myself, in my family, in the church, it gives God a pleasure that you cannot imagine. It gives him a joy that you cannot imagine. So today I want us to wake up to a very, very subtle symptom. A symptom that we think, I'm not killing anyone. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not lying to anyone. I'm not lusting after anyone. I'm not committing adultery. But if in a sense, it is the greatest sin. Division. Pay attention to it in your own heart. Pay attention to it in your family. Pay attention to it in your church, in your service. If you are feeling movements towards division, that is a symptom that something is wrong. Not so that you be negative and you cry over yourself, but so that we have a chance for change, so that we seek unity, so that we seek love, so that we seek to give pleasure to God. You know, when you read the Psalms, one of the most moving part of any of the Psalms is when it says that God takes his pleasure from us. God takes pleasure in us. May God give us always to take pleasure in us, whenever we are united in ourselves, in our families, in our church. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen.